worker here at Sycophant Church, and I've been here for 4.5 years now, according to my Facebook timeline. That's how I measure time. I want to tell you a story about my aloe vera. The name's not Vera, the name's Alan. This is Alan the aloe vera. I don't know why I called him Alan. I just did. It says nothing about any Alans you may know. My flatmate Beth, who also comes to church, is scared of Alan because this isn't the extent of Alan. There are 5 more Alans in our flat, and recently, more were born. And Alan started life. I don't know originally, but Rachel Walcott bought a bit of Alan, she didn't call him Alan, from IKEA many years ago. And a couple of years ago, she gave me some because she had, when they moved house, she had nowhere to put all these aloe veras. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll put some plants in the office. And the old office wasn't the warmest place in the world. It wasn't the driest place in the world. And so Alan suffered a fair bit, and I to die, because at that stage I killed a lot of plants and I just thought, that's my lot in life, Alan will die. But Alan didn't die. Alan persevered, quite surprisingly, and he kept going and kept going. And then when I got a flatmate that didn't hate plants being in the house, Alan came home and Alan flourished at home. And to be honest, I wasn't really doing anything. He grew and grew and grew, and now this is probably the third biggest bit of Alan I have. There are bigger bits. If you ever want an aloe vera plant, do not buy one. I will give you one. Just come to me with a pot. And Alan keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And Alan has been through a lot. Alan, at lots of times, it looked like Alan was going to die, but he didn't. And he keeps going and keeps going. And he basically restored my faith in my ability to look after plants, even though I did nothing. And he is flourishing. And when I was repotting a bit of Alan because he got too big for his old pot the other day, I'm always resigned to the fact that, like, every time I repot something, because I'm not very good at gardening, every time I repot something, I'm like, it'll probably die. It's just how I do life. But Alan never does. He just keeps going. And Alan, believe it or not, is like the kingdom of God. And so we've been thinking about mustard seeds today. And in lots of ways, Alan is very similar to a mustard tree. And so I want to read to you from Matthew 13. If you are in one of the church Bibles, it is on page 980. And we're going to read just 2 verses today from Matthew 13. And we're going to read verses 31 and 32. So if you want to find that on your phone or in your Bible and read along with me. I'm not the best reader, so let's go. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of your garden plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds of the air might come and perch in its branches. It's a very simple reading today. I'm going to read it again just for you to properly hear it. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, it grows and it is the largest garden plant, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air will come and perch in its branches. So when Jesus was talking about mustard trees, he used them as an example, as he does in all of his parables. He uses things that the people around him would have known. Like, they would be everywhere. It would all be, like, common stuff that everyone would know. And mustard trees were everywhere in Israel. Like, you couldn't move for mustard trees. Everyone would have known what a mustard tree looked like. It's kind of like us with conifers or, like, that kind of tree. Like, they're absolutely everywhere. And what Jesus was saying, he was probably looking around, chatting to these people, telling these parables, and he probably went, oh, yeah, it's like a mustard tree. It's like a seed. And you've all seen how tiny the seeds are, right? They're, like, I put mine in my Bible. It's gone. They're very easy to lose. They don't look like they're up to much. We use them as seasoning. Like, we don't use them to grow anything. But some facts I found out about mustard seeds and trees, because I didn't know anything about them before I started prepping for this. So, they grow to between 6 foot and 20 foot high, which is pretty big. And they can also grow up to 20 feet wide. which is huge. Their roots go down as far as the tree goes up. So if you've got a 6 foot mustard, I mean, Wikipedia didn't tell me that, so that can be your fact, Teresa. So if it goes down 6 foot, the tree goes up 6 foot, 20 foot, up 20 foot, and it grows in harsh climates. And I was thinking, because in this passage also it talks about yeast and how yeast affects dough, and I was really thinking, like, you know, I heard this story when I was in Sunday school when I was younger. I'm sure we all heard stories about mustard seeds and sung songs about mustard seeds, though they've put it to funky new tunes now. And I was like, how, like, what is this saying about the kingdom of God? What is this meaning for us as a church in 2020 as we look to see what God wants to do for us? And I was thinking about the kingdom of God. And I was thinking about church and Christian life and all those kind of things. And I was thinking about how so many times when it seems like the church isn't growing, either in this building, in this town, in this country, in the world, we look at outside factors. We look at, oh, maybe I'm not doing enough. Maybe I need to be better. Maybe I need to sort my stuff out. If I was a better person, then the kingdom of God would be growing. Or we look at outside factors and we say, oh, it's because of society. Society is changing. Society is doing this. Society is that. Or maybe we look at the government and we go, oh, it's because the government have done this or the government have done that. And we keep going and we look at all these outside factors, and it could be absolutely anything. But this parable shows us that the kingdom of God is tenacious. It's resilient. It's hard-wearing. Is able to withstand anything. And as I was thinking and praying and trying to work out what I was going to say, because in all honesty, when I asked Alex what he wanted to preach on, he went, gardening. Right. I don't know very much about gardening at all. I was once asked by my mother to weed our garden. I didn't know what a weed was. Some flowers look like weeds, you know. I'd never got asked to weed the garden again. I don't know anything about gardening, and I'm discovering more and more as I think about it that I know less and less about the kingdom of God than I thought, and I know less and less about how it's going to grow. But I've spent a lot of time in the last week or so praying and reading and asking God, what does the kingdom of God need now? And I really feel, for me personally, but for all of us as a church, I feel like God is saying that the biggest thing that is holding the kingdom of God back right now is the limits we place on it. Because actually, if the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, it can be a tiny thing that grows into a 20-foot high, 20-foot wide tree with roots that go down as far as it goes up. It can be incredible. It can change the landscape of a desert. But we put quite small limits on it. We go, this is a tiny seed. It's not going to do much. I'll leave it. I am quite a clumsy person. I have dyspraxia and dyslexia. So following instructions are quite tricky for me. Reading is quite a tricky thing. And reading things in the right order is an even trickier thing. And I once was making bread. We had a bread maker at home. So it was easy, apparently. And my mum had ripped my poor mum. Poor, poor Sean. She had written out the instructions of what I had to do, and she just wanted a loaf of bread made for when her and dad got back from their holiday. And I was like, that's easy. By the way, just for context, this wasn't when I was a child or a teenager. I was 21 when this happened. So, you know. And I was like, that's fine. I can do that. I can use a bread maker. I'm an adult. I have lived away from home for ages. I ran an engine room. I can make a loaf of bread. And so I followed the instructions, I thought, rather diligently. I put in far too much yeast. Like, I kind of, you know when you're like, so I bake in a way that distresses most people, and I just kind of bake by eye, so I'll throw stuff in about, that looks good, that looks good, that looks good, let's make it. And that works for brownies, and that works for cookies, does not work for bread. So I kind of was like, vaguely looking at the instructions, but I can't really read my mum's handwriting. Everything was, I was a bit confused, and I just put as much yeast as I felt there should be yeast in there. I broke the bread maker. They don't have a bread maker anymore. And bread makers are expensive as well, I didn't realise that either. So I just put in a lot of yeast, and the bread just kept growing and kept growing and kept growing and burst its banks. bread maker was no more. And this is the thing, that actually small things make big waves. A lot of the time, we think we have to put on something that has hundreds of people coming along to it. We have to put on something that makes national news, as the Alpha Course did when it first started. We have to do something that changes everything from day one. But what God is saying is the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's tiny. You've all got them around you right now. Look how small they are. I wouldn't think that could grow to 20 foot. I wouldn't think that could change the landscape of a desert. But it does. The kingdom of God is from little beginnings. It seems like absolutely nothing. But if we dig deep, if we go down as far as we need to go to get nutrients, if we dig deep into Jesus, it will surprise us by how much it grows. In the version that I was reading this week of the reading, it says the farmer just kind of thought, well, it's not how, it's the Martha version now, but like the farmer planted it thinking it wouldn't be much because it's such a tiny seed. And it grew to the biggest of all his garden plants. The farmer underestimated the power of the mustard seed. And a lot of the time, we underestimate the power of the kingdom of God. Because this world is so, so, so different to how it was 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. It's so, so different to all those years ago when the church was growing rapidly, despite persecution, despite warfare, despite all these things. The church was growing and growing and growing. And we think, well, that's so different now. Now we've got social media and negative news and fake news and all this kind of stuff. How are we supposed to compete with all that? How are we supposed to get the truth of the message of God's love for humanity out in the mess that is the world right now? But what this parable tells us is that as long as you have that little seed of faith, as long as you trust that God is capable of doing far more than you can ask for or imagine, it will surprise you. It will change the landscape. There are so many things in life that start with small beginnings. So many revivals start with a few old ladies in a church hall praying. And no one thinks much of them. No, there's no news story about some women meeting in a church hall to pray. But there are news stories about massive revivals that go on around the world, both in history and more recently. So what limits are we putting on ourselves? I have been challenged quite recently. In youth group, on Wednesdays, we're doing a course called Everyday Supernatural. And it's written by the people who started the Soul Survivor Movement and now run Soul Survivor Church in Watford. And it's basically about how can you get the gifts of the Holy Spirit into your more everyday life. It doesn't have to be for a special service once a month or once a year. Why can't it be every day? And as part of the course, there are challenges that are set for us to do as a group every week. And then they're not hard challenges. They're taking 5 minutes out of your day to do something. And it's the same 5 minutes every week, so it doesn't get bigger. And before I did it with the young people, I thought, well, I've got to test this out. Because if I can't do it, we're not going to be able to do it. And in the time that I was testing it out, in the time that I was doing these challenges over the course of weeks, I was so challenged by God. Because I'd realised how small my ideas of what God could do in this community were. Because I'd realised that I was not praying certain things in front of the young people for fear that I would scare them off. I wasn't praying certain prayers. I wasn't asking them if they wanted to be prayed for. I wasn't doing things that might seem slightly uncomfortable for me because I was scared that if I did that, they would be scared off. But more recently, I've started to pray bigger prayers around them and for them. I've started to ask them if they want prayers for healing, and I've started to do things like that because actually, I believe that the God of the mustard seed is also the God of the mustard tree. And it can be as big as I want it to be. As I believe it can be. And a lot of the time, our faith is the limit to what God can do. Because sometimes we don't even have faith as small as a mustard seed. I know many times in my life, I have prayed for somebody for healing and qualified it in case it doesn't happen. So I'll be praying and I'll say, dear Lord, I pray, like, Spirit, come down, heal this person. But if you don't, God, I pray that they're okay with it. Amen. And then you're safe, aren't you? Especially when we're praying for non-Christians. Because if we pray for non-Christians and it doesn't happen, or heaven forbid it gets worse, what's that going to mean for them? We need to stop looking for excuses. We need to stop dreaming small dreams. We need to stop putting limits on what God can do in our own lives and in our community. In this year, it's very helpfully been branded in lots of ways by lots of different churches, and there are 2020 visions going on up and down the country. There are big prayer meetings, there are rallies that are going to be held, there are massive revival meetings going to be held. And that's all amazing. But if that stuff's happening and it doesn't change what's going on inside of you, doesn't change how you're living your life, doesn't change the limits that you have set on God in your life, then it'll all be pointless. Then there'll be a big bang, a big spike in 2020, and it all fade away in 2021. This year, my prayer for this church is more about individuals than it is about corporate. I pray that as individuals, we might see that the only thing that's stopping us from seeing the kingdom of God flourish, the kingdom of God grow, the kingdom of God far exceed our expectations, is that we aren't looking for it. But just in case it disappoints us. Over the last few years, God's been speaking to me so much about how it's not on me, it's on him. It's not about me, it's about him. It's not for my own glory, it's for his glory. Because no young person's life is going to be changed by me being in it. It might be changed for the worse, but it's not going to be changed positively by me being in it. It's going to be changed by them being in relationship with Jesus. History won't be changed because I took a clever young person out for coffee lots of times and we had lots of fun. History will be changed if that young person commits their life to God and uses their smarts and their intelligence to do things for God's glory. I think I really enjoy that Alex shared the video of Bobby Firmino's baptism. I'm a Liverpool fan. They are my Premier League team. And it's going quite well being a Liverpool fan at the moment. Wasn't so good a few years ago, but now it's finally paid off. And one of the guys baptising him, the guy with the long hair and the beard, is the goalkeeper of Liverpool. And Alison Becker is the goalkeeper. He doesn't speak a lot of English. He's obviously living in England now. And so he once shared that if he spoke better English, he would want to evangelise the whole Liverpool team. But he can't, so he picked the one he could speak to in his native language. But they're both Brazilian. And so he basically, as far as I've read, Alison Becker went to town on Bobby Firmino about Jesus. Every opportunity they had, every moment they possibly had, everything they could do, Alison Becker was telling Bobby Firmino about Jesus. When Liverpool won the Champions League in the summer, Alison Becker, rather than having his country flag on full display or his Liverpool shirt on full display or his medal, he had a T-shirt on that said, "The cross equals love." Alison Becker uses every opportunity he possibly can get from God to share the gospel. That video of Bobby Firmino being baptised has been shared everywhere. Sky News have shared it. BBC News have shared it. It's all over Twitter. And I know most people in here don't use Twitter, but like, it's reaching a lot of people. I had a friend who is not a Christian and who doesn't, quite frankly, doesn't really like Christianity, send me a link to that video being like, "Oh, hey, look, your two great loves, Liverpool and Jesus, have combined." And she doesn't follow Jesus accounts, she doesn't follow Liverpool accounts, but it got to her. If you use what God has given you, however small it may seem, you may not have the millions of followers that Bobby Firmino has on Instagram. You may not have the millions of pounds that they have. He got baptised in his pool in his house. Like, that might not be your life, but God has given you something that you can use to spread the kingdom of God. You have something. You have friends that aren't Christian. You have people in your life. You have workmates. You have the women in Morrison's checkout. Wherever your field is, wherever your garden is, plant your mustard seed. Whatever little faith you can muster, be sure of it. See that it is strong and that it grows deep roots. Because that's the other thing about mustard trees, is that the deep roots are deep. Growth happens however far down the roots go. That's how far the tree goes up. So this isn't a passing thing. This isn't a this year and then we'll move on to the next phase. For the kingdom of God to flourish, for the kingdom of God to grow, it needs to be something that we invest in long term. It needs to be something that we do week in, week out. There's the prayer meeting tomorrow, which I would love to see as many people here this morning that be there tomorrow, because we're going to pray for big things. We're going to pray big prayers. We're going to worship God. If you can be there and be a part of that, that affects how far your roots go. We need to be reading our Bible more. It's one thing that I struggle with massively, and it's taken me years and years and years to work out a way that I can actually read the Bible daily, because reading is a struggle. We need to be being in relationship and community and being open and honest. So if you're not in a house group, if you don't have a community within this community, then please speak to me or Alex afterwards, or George, wherever George is, George, and get into a house group. Don't do this life alone. Go as deep as you possibly can into God. And don't stop. Don't think, I've had enough of God now. I've got my full quota. I've listened to enough worship. I've done enough Bible reading. I've prayed enough prayers. I'm good for today. Make it a constant thing. It doesn't have to mean that we're stopping at our work desk and going, please, no one disturb me. I'm going to pray to Jesus now. Because that works in my office, but it might not work in everybody's office. But if you're always constantly asking God, work through me today. Show me people to talk to today. Help me plant a mustard seed in someone's life today. Because it might not be that we see the fruit of it straight away. And believe me, I know how frustrating that is. It might not be that lives are changed in that instant. But it might be that in a few years' time, you'll bump into someone that you knew from work, or that you used to see a lot in Morrison's, or that you were in a Pilates class with. And they go, oh, hey, you used to talk to me about Jesus quite a lot. Yeah, I'm a Christian now. And as someone that's had that happen to them, it's the best feeling ever, because it reminds you that you are not the person that the work is not on your shoulders. It is not your burden to carry. You do your part and then you let God do the rest, and he'll bring other people along. He's the creator of the universe. He can do what he likes. He'll bring other people along. He'll water the seed. He'll grow the seed. He'll make the mustard tree. But you just have to put your little bit in. And a lot of the times we think that our little bit is too insignificant to change the world, so we don't do it. But if we don't do our little bit, if we don't put our mustard seed into the ground, if we don't put a little bit of water on, if we don't help it cultivate it, weed it, whatever we need to do, then nothing happens. The landscape isn't changed and things stay the same forever. The farmer underestimated the mustard seed in the parable. He didn't think it would be up to much. He didn't think it would be that big. But it grew so big that birds came and perched in its branches. It became a home to animals that had no home. That is what the kingdom of God is going to be for people in this community. For people who feel lonely, and there are millions of them out there. For people who feel like they have been abandoned or left on their own. For people who feel like they have nowhere to go. That is what the kingdom of God is for. So plant your mustard seed in the conversations that you have with your friends, with your family, with your workmates, with the people in various classes or gyms that you go to. Plant your mustard seed in your life every day. Pray and talk to God and read the Bible and worship him daily. Do not neglect what the mustard seed can become. Make sure your roots go deep so that it can grow as high as possible. Because I truly believe that this year can be a year where the whole landscape of this country is changed, and my God, does it need it. But it's only going to happen if you and I put as much into our relationship with God as possible, knowing that it's not on us if a prayer doesn't get answered. It's not on us if lives aren't changed. It's about God. He'll get the glory, and he can take the blame if people throw it at him. It's not about you and I. It's about the kingdom. So whatever little thing you think you have to offer, it is not worthless. It can become a mustard tree. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. I thank you so much that you have planted stuff within us long ago, things that we think are worthless, that they will not bring anything to the table, that we have nothing to offer this world, Lord. But I thank you that you have given each and every single one of us something that enables us to change the world or change someone's world, Lord. And I pray that we wouldn't be people that put limits on what you can do in our own lives, in the life of this church. or in this community, Lord. I pray that we would be people that put limits on how far you can go or how much you can do, Lord. I pray that we'd be people that live limitless lives, that our little bit of faith can grow to as big as you want it to grow, God. I pray that we would trust in you. We would walk with you daily, and we would expect the unexpected with you, God. Thank you so much for everything that you have done in our lives. Thank you so much for everything that you continue to do in our lives, God. And we pray that you might walk with us a little closer, that we might feel you a little more, that you might change the atmosphere in our everyday life, that we are able to preach you more clearly. In your name, amen.
I wonder if you could pray for Frogs. Friday Frogs is the kids club that runs here between 5:30 and 7:00 on a Friday. And just as Martha was saying, it is growing exponentially at the moment. I don't know what God is doing. One of the places that I've always wanted to reach into is the estate behind the harvester. And we've had children coming as family groups. So instead of one coming, they're coming as threes and twos. And so we are 35 or something on the books now, and with regularly 24 kids on a Friday night. So please pray that that we will continue to reach out. Pray for more workers into the field, because we're now having to have 4 adults each week. But also, let me just give you one story. We were chatting about how God would be with our feelings this year. And whatever God, whatever feelings we went through this year, that God would be with us, and that he cares about every single one of us. And then we made some little choosers, for the craft. And one of the boys, who is quite quiet, he said, you have a go with me with this and count the number of, what colour would you like, etc. That's the sort of thing it is. And then he'd written, God has got your back. Sorry. So that he understands it had got to him. He understood. So keep praying. And that's great what God is doing.